Well, we appreciate the presence of each one this afternoon. Appreciate the good feast that we just enjoyed. That was very good food. We appreciate all of those who cooked it and made it for us. It was just wonderful. The scriptures have passages where there's an invitation extended. We used one of those this morning in our sermon. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have the last chapter in Revelation, chapter 22. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. So we're acquainted with invitations. There are other passages that entail an invitation, in a way, if you look for it. And sometimes the invitation has to do with good things, and sometimes the invitation has to do with evil things, or it might be just a little bit neutral. So what I'm going to do this afternoon, just for a few moments, is to talk about, here is your invitation. Here is your invitation, and all of these come from the book of Proverbs. And the first one is in chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. This is an invitation to murder and greed. And in this, as a lot of these Proverbs are, the first one starts off the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, and then he begins to talk about what these things are that he wants people to have. But then in verse 8, for example, he says, now my son, a lot of these things he has his son or children in mind as these warnings are given. He was the wisest man on the earth. God gave him a great wisdom. And of course, you don't even have to have a lot of wisdom to know that in the hearts of young people, there are a lot of temptations to go in wrong directions. My son, you've got to be careful. Now listen to me. Now verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, don't go with them. It's like a father talking to his son. There's various kinds of people in this world. And you need to be very careful as to who you run around with. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Sometimes young people have a hard time saying no to those that they run with. And so if the group is going to go do this, well, I don't want them to think I'm a square. I'm out of touch. I'm out of step. I want to just be welcomed and appreciated and sanctioned, so I just go along with it. People get in trouble because they're where they should not be. Clyde Thompson spent I don't know how many years in state penitentiary. One time he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. And he told us that he wound up in prison because he was in a situation he shouldn't have been in. He was with some people he shouldn't have been with. And sometimes things get out of hand and you didn't see it coming. You didn't know it was going to be like that. But what were you doing there to begin with? Why were you there, son? Daughter? Why were you with those people? We used to get hard warnings from our parents when we were growing up. There are certain places you do not go. There are certain places you don't run around with. You just don't. My son, hear the instruction. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And they got this plan. They're going to kill somebody and rob him. What kind of plan is that? Sounds like some of these rioters. Not all of them, but some of them that we're watching on TV. We might just kill somebody. We might just destroy some property. We might just take some property. How many people are in our country who simply want to exploit whatever they can? They're thieves at heart. Some of them are just murderers at heart. And so whenever the public situation develops so that they can exploit a scene, let's break into the stores and steal all we can, and we'll blame it on what happened last week. They're not fooling anybody. This stuff is old. There are people that are evil, bent on murder, bent on greed, bent on stealing. So here's an invitation. I'm not going to read all the passages, but in verse 18, they lay in wait for blood. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. That's just like he's writing to modern day Americans. Young son, don't be fooled by what becomes fashionable and sociable. Oh, I'm going to be in on this riot. I'm going to be in on this revolution. I want my voice heard. I'm going to be a part of this protest. You better be careful as to what you're protesting and with whom you are doing it. So the first invitation is the invitation to murder and greed. Number two, before the chapter closes, however, he talks about another invitation. And this one is the invitation to wisdom and instruction. Verses 20 through 33. Wisdom is crying out. God wants all men to have wisdom. She's available. She's in the chief places of concourse. Verse 21. 22. How long will you not pay attention? How long will you refuse to open your hearts to wisdom? So in verses 24, he begins to talk about that. And I'm telling you, when you grow up and you refuse wisdom, since the time's going to come, you're going to fall into calamity, and then you're going to call for it, and it's not going to be there. Wisdom says, I will laugh at your calamity. How many people have experienced that? How many young people died like that because they refused to listen? And how many young people are in prison right now because they turned a deaf ear to the cry of wisdom? I would not listen to what Daddy said. Would not listen to my mother. What Merle Haggard popularized in song has been practiced by a lot of people. You know, his mama tried. In an interview, he said, you know, I was the only one in the family that ever went to prison. And some of the family dealt his mother hardship because of that. But she would come see him. She never gave up on him. And it's just an amazing thing. There's just so much heartache because we don't have the sense to listen to wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 8 is on that same point. Proverbs chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of high places. By the way, in the places of the pass, she cries at the gates, at the entry of the city. Is it hard to learn how to be wise? Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, just like chapter 1. Understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. And on and on. Number 3. You go over to chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6. And here's an invitation. The third invitation is to adultery. You see, you can think about temptation as an invitation. This is your invitation to temptation. And here, he watches. He sees somebody going by the house of this woman that has no sense. This woman that does not stay in her place. She does not know her function and her role in life. And she has no character. How many American girls, and boys for that matter, but how many American girls right now are just like this? In fact, they are raised to be like this. There is no proper place for you. You can do what you want to do. You can be what you want to be. You can be as immoral as you want to be. That's okay. That's just the American culture now. And so he says, now all these guys that turn into her, they're simple. They don't have any sense. Verse 7, passing through the street, verse 8, near her corner, he went away. He went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Just like a beast that's going to catch somebody. And so verse 13, she catches him and kisses him. She has an impudent face. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Come. And come down to verse 19. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. And so we have all this time at our disposal. And so this young fellow that has no sense, he turns in. And you come down to verse 27. Her house is the way to the grave, going down to the chambers of death. Things aren't what they appear to be. But to the young in heart, you know, what's so bad about this? What's so wrong about this? I was watching one of those situation comedies the other night. I tell you, brethren, there's a lot of false doctrine that gets popularized and then enculturalized, if I make up a word there. It gets placed in the culture when young people see that lived out in a situation comedy. And one of these things I was watching the other night, this woman and this boy are together, and it's not marriage and all this, and this woman said, well, I learned that it wasn't a sin. Now, you don't usually hear the word sin on TV. And here it was used to show that fornication is okay. Isn't that incredible? People make unrighteousness look good. And this is fun. And this is just, if you're not for it, you know, you're just not with it. Things are not always what they seem as they are, like they are. Here's an invitation to adultery. Chapter 7, verses 6 through 27. And then in chapter 9, verse 13 through 18, it's the fornication, an invitation to fornication. Give instruction to a wise man. Now let's come down to 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers. She's an invitation who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Sheol, the American Standard has, King James has, hell. So we've got an invitation to murder and greed, but you can also have the invitation to wisdom and instruction. But then you come back, the invitation to adultery, the invitation to fornication. And now let's jump over to chapter 23. Verses 1 through 8. And this is a different sort of thing. Because here, he talks about being invited by the ruler. The king or somebody like that invites you to some sort of a banquet or a get-together. And he says, now, you need to use good manners and discretion and wisdom while you're there. You want to make a good impression. Verse 2, put a knife to your throat. Don't just look at it like a free meal. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Don't overvalue the situation. Labor not to be rich, verse 4. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Now watch this. And this is the context of this remark. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We usually just quote that passage as a universal principle, and that's fine. That's true about anybody. The man is what he thinks. He is what he thinks about. As you think in your heart, that's what you are. But it comes out of this king who invites somebody to his table, but he doesn't really want them there. Now read that. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. It's an invitation, but he's not sincere about it. Or at least we can say he's doing it for some reason other than your presence. It's not because he wants you there. Here's your invitation to eat with royalty. Had you rather go and not be wanted or not go and be wanted where you are? This is not good. being invited but not welcomed. Tell you this, I've long felt this way, and you probably feel the same way too. I do not intend to stay where I'm not wanted. Don't you feel that way? I'm not trying to be a nuisance or obnoxious guest. I don't want to be if you don't want me here. I'd rather be by myself. I'd rather be with my horse. And he's saying this, you know, somebody invites you, but he doesn't want you. As he thinketh, so is he. That's the real king. That's the real ruler. And you need to think about that before you fall all over him and all his riches and all his dainties, and you start saying, boy, I wish I could be like this. You won't be like he is. He doesn't even want you there. Here's your invitation to a meal at which you're not really welcome. Well, I say, count me out. And you do too. Then, number 6. Proverbs 23:29. Here's your invitation to drunkenness. And it comes by the appeal that the drink has while you look at it. I remember hearing a very prominent gospel preacher, Jimmy Allen, when we were young, I guess, maybe teenagers. But he was using as an illustration in one of his campaign sermons one night. He was talking about watching these beer commercials on TV. And of course, you know, the beer people usually have tons of money. And they can just pay for these tremendous commercials. And we talk about it sometime around Super Bowl time or Christmas time. Some of the most beautiful commercials are by the alcoholic people because they've got all the money. But anyway, Jimmy Allen was talking about how he and his wife be sitting there watching television and this beer commercial. He said, well, it's just almost all I can do to keep from getting her to go down and get us some. They try to lure you in and get you to see the beauty of this stuff. You need to try it. You need to taste it. Right here in this chapter, the invitation is now, come on. It's in the cup. 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath complaining? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Watch it now. Here's the prohibition. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself awry. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange things, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not hurt. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. I tell you what, that's just like what we need now. I mentioned Meriwether Lewis this morning. He would sometimes, you know, he just had a long habit of drinking and drinking a lot. Drinking any is bad. Drinking a lot's worse. And then sometimes, you know, he might kind of resolve he's not going to do that so much. But you just fall back. And you fall back in there. And you fall back in there. And you just keep going back. Drunkenness. And the Jew was prohibited from just looking at an intoxicating beverage. I'll talk to you about why. I think thou shalt not get drunk is not in the Ten Commandments. I'll talk to you about that. So I'm not going there right now. But there was a reason for that. There had to be. Because that's one of the works of the flesh. Just like stealing. I mean, those kinds of things. It's just immoral. It's immoral. But it wasn't listed for some reason. But he says, here's the deal now. You find yourself. It's not that they planned it necessarily. But all of a sudden, here's this grape juice and it's turned alcoholic. And somebody's found that out. And you're just standing there, just biding your time and watching and thinking and maybe wondering, you know, what what harm would it do? And, you know, maybe nobody will know, and I'm all by myself or whatever. And he says, don't do that. Don't allow yourself to be pulled in. The liquor is saying, come and get me. It's your invitation. It's your invitation to drunkenness. Come and get me. I'm telling you, son, don't look at it. Stay away from it. And then finally, let's go to chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. Chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. Here is your invitation to mingle with the great. I don't have any ambitions to do this. I know that there are people that sometimes they fought all over people in high places. They want to be seen with them, or they want to be a part of that scene. There are all kinds of people in this world. I have no ambition for anything like this. But there are plenty of people that want to be in places of power. They want to be connected to the power center, or to the powerful people, or whatever. Now look at verses 5 and 6. Take away, or verses 6 and 7. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king. Stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up here, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Now in Luke 14, Jesus talks about that very principle. And this will be our final passage. In Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. When thou art bidden of any man to a marriage feast, sit not down in the chief seat, lest haply a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him shall come and say to thee, give this man place. And then thou shalt begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he that hath bidden thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have glory in the presence of all that sit and meet with thee. And then the conclusion of the story, here's the application. For every one that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I tell you, I've never seen a culture in my life that thrived on arrogance and self-braggery as our current culture does. I've never seen anything like it. I've just never seen it. Where people talk about their fine points and how they can do this, and I'm good at this, and I can do this, and oh yes, and I'm the greatest player on this team, and I'm the greatest player in this sport. And it's just, it's not even a matter of humiliation. It's not even bad courtesy. And it's just, our culture's just been taught that now for years and years and years. And so self-gratulation and self-boasting, these are now taken to be just normal comments that you make about yourself. And any politician, my, if he runs for office, given all the slander, I know, brethren, there's got to be a way to respond to a slander and misrepresentation than just bragging on yourself. There's got to be a way of setting the record straight without falling into self-compliments. But our culture's not averse to that. It's just normal. You just brag on yourself. Jesus said, it's the other man's place to do that. It's not like Solomon. It's the other man's place to do that. Let another man, you know, do that. Not your own tongue. That's not your tongue's business. Our culture doesn't know about that. And so it's better to take a low seat. And if you have to stay there, stay there. What's so bad about that? But if somebody says, oh, here, I want to put you in a better position. Well, I appreciate that. But putting yourself forward, always having an agenda or self-aggressive nature to make yourself the center of things, the attraction of things, that's not good. Everybody, including gospel preachers, have to learn that. All of us have to learn that and apply that. So what were the invitations we talked about? The invitation to murder and greed, chapter 1, 10 through 19. The invitation to wisdom and instruction, the last part of that chapter. Chapter 7, the invitation to adultery. Chapter 9, the invitation to fornication. Chapter 23, an invitation, though you're not really welcome. Chapter 23, an invitation to drunkenness. And chapter 25, here's your invitation to mingle with the great. There is a wise way to handle that. If you're here this afternoon and not a Christian, come in faith, repent of your sins, make the good confession, be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, we encourage you to come home right now while together we stand, while we sing, once you come.